Morning. Today's daf in Avodah Zarah is Nun Beit. Behind our Nun Aleph, we are on the towards the bottom of Nun Aleph. I'm an Aleph. We just finished with discussing various issues regarding Avodah Zarah. Some of the more basic issues regarding Avodah Zarah. So the Avodah Zarah, where it's Darka Bekach, Rein Darka Bekach, meaning what is normal worship of this particular Avodah Zarah versus standard Avodahs for that are universal and that are applied by all. So like, for example, in the beginning of the parak, we learned about the Markulis. Markulis is worshipped by throwing rocks at it. And so therefore, if you throw a rock at it, that's Darka Bekach. That's the way it's done. And so therefore, one would be Chayiv. And as we're about to learn in just a moment, in fact, that's the Gemara we're coming up to right now, there are also universal ways of being Ovid Avodah Zarah. And for that matter, there are universal ways to do Avodah. And so therefore, if you're Ovid in this manner, you're also going to be Chayiv. That's also going to be a violation of Avodah Zarah, with capital punishment and such. And so let's pick it up, right where we left off yesterday, the very bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Elazar, Minan Leshoch Behem LaMarkulis Shehu Chayiv. So you shecht an animal for Markulis. So again, the way that it's normally worshipped is by throwing stones at it. But now you shecht an animal, so you're going to be Chayiv. Shenem Rav Elazar B'chu Odez Divcheim LaSeirim. So the Gemara says, "Yemeinu in lekhadarka." Now that pasuk over there, no. Yeah, I figured. I put it all together. So "Yemeinu in lekhadarka." So if it's not, if we're not talking about normal the way it's normally worshipped, so we already have a pasuk describing that if this is the manner that it's normally worshipped, you're going to be chayiv. So we're not talking about the way that it's normally worshipped. We're talking about "Yemeinu in lekhadarka." Meaning it's the way that's not normally worshipped. But since you're using universal methods of worship, meaning shechting an animal is a universal method, so then one would be chayiv. So, what have we done so far? We've taken a pasuk of lo yizbech lo zivcheim, that's from Perek Zayin of Vayikra, and now we've applied it to this idea of, even though it's shelo kedark, even though this is not the normal way of worship, but because it's a universal method, so therefore you're going to be chayiv. That's what we learned so far. Now, basically, the question now coming up, it's going to be a slightly long sentence, a little bit of a run-on sentence, but the Gemara now is going to be basically asking, we have this pasuk to teach us another halacha altogether. And so the question is going to be, is that how can I generate 2 points from the same pasuk? That's the question. Let's see it inside. Gemara now says, but I need it for something else. We turn to the top of Nun Aleph Amud Beis. And ad kanu medaber bekashrus sheikdishim b'shas yisur habam v'hikris b'shas yisur habamos. We are now analyzing the 17th perek of Vayikra once again. You look at the beginning of the perek, so it's all about shchut echutz. In other words, if you take an animal and shecht it outside of where we are instructed to shecht it, otherwise known as Yerushalayim, otherwise known as the Beis HaMikdash, and you take the animal and you shecht it outside, so it is a serious violation of the Torah. And I say serious violation of the Torah, I mean it's an Issur Kares, right? The Torah speaks some very strong language about shchut echutz, meaning the punishment is Kares, which obviously puts it in a category that is it's in rare territory, right? Only 34 Yisurim in the Torah are subject to an Issur Kares. And two positive commandments are subject to Kares, but 34 Lavim are subject to Kares, one of them being Shchut Echutz. And the Torah also compares it to Ritzicha, it's like murder. Anyway, Torah speaks in very strong language. So the first, you'll forgive me, I'm not going to go through the psukim right now, but the first 6 psukim of the parak, of Perek Zion, talk about a scenario in which there was an Issur Bamos, meaning there was only one place to be Oved, and that's in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore if I take an animal, Makdash it, and shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, I'm not only violating Issur in the Torah, but I'm subject to Kares. Sharei Onshin Amor Shenemar Ve'el Pesach O'amor Eloi Diyah V'chulei Onish Amanu Azar Minayin. So the Torah in that pasuk, which again, the Gemara just quoted a portion of that pasuk, but if you read on in that pasuk, it says that it's subject to an Issur Kares. Good, that's the punishment. Where's the Azhara? Where's the warning? Tamalomer, pen tala olascha. So the Torah says pen. Now pen means it's a lav, right? The Gemara says yes, that's right. Ukid Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Ilad, Amar Rabbi Avin, Amar Rabbi Ilad, Kamakum Shenemar, Hishamer, pen, al. When you have a pasuk starting with either of these words, and it goes without saying the word lo as well, lo also introduces, but if you have a pasuk opening up with any of these, ain't no ella below sa'ase. So that is a lav, meaning in addition to the word lo, you also have pen, hishamer, and al. They introduce a lo sa'ase as well. Mikan ve'elech. Okay, good. That takes us through the first 6 psukim of Perek Yud Zayin. Now, keep reading on, and you're going to see, and again, I'm not quoting the psukim right now, okay, but I strongly encourage, open a chumash, go through the psukim, and then if you look on from Perek Zion and onward, in Perek Yud Zion, Mikan ve'elech, u'medaber b'kashem shiktishim b'shas heter abamos, v'ikrim b'shas isra abamos. So it's talking about a lighter form of shchut echutz. I know that sounds strange, but it's a lighter form of shchut echutz. What does that mean, lighter form? Meaning that when you were makdish the animal, there was heter bamos, meaning there was no beis hamikdash at that point in time. Obviously, for us, this is all historical, but there was no beis hamikdash at the time. So when you were makdish the animal, you had the right to offer it outside the beis hamikdash. There was no beis hamikdash. And then, whatever, you lingered, and then the beis hamikdash was built, and now you offered it outside the beis hamikdash. So since you were makdish at a time when it was okay to offer it outside the beis hamikdash, what you're doing now is categorically wrong, but not as wrong. Okay, and therefore, what gets reduced? The sentence gets reduced. Meaning, I once upon a time allowed you to offer it literally on the field, but it means there was once upon a time where you could have offered outside the base of Mikdash. Malam Shekol, Hazovech, Babama, Bishar, Isser, Habamos, Malala, Vakasukilu, Zovech. Now that there's an Isra Bamas at the time of Shechita, so it's like you shecht in the field, Vihivim La Hashem, and the Torah says, and you should have brought it to the Beis HaMikdash. Zumitzah Sasei. Umitzah Lo Sasei Minayin. What about the Lav? Lo Yizbechu Od Zivcheyem. So the Lav is coming from the Pasuk of Lo Yizbechu Od Zivcheyem. And here's where we are. Now finally we're at the question. Meaning, what do we see from this Pasuk of Lo Yizbechu? It's coming to teach me that I am not allowed, it is the Azhar, it is the warning, that I'm not allowed to shech this animal outside the Beis HaMikdash. Even though, when I was makdish the animal, there was a heter bamos, but now that I'm offering it, now there's a Beis HaMikdash, now I can't offer it outside the Beis HaMikdash, so that's a lav. Yachol yeh anosh kares. Now, what about kares? So tam olamar, chukas olam tiyeh zos lahem. So the Gemara quotes from the earlier psukim, zos lahem, zos is always a miyut. What is Zos coming to be? Mamai? Zos lehem v'lo acheres lehem. No. Karis is only in a time where you were makdish the animal, when there was an Isra Bamos, and you were a makir of the animal outside the Beis HaMikdash, when there was an Isra Bamos. But if you were makdish the animal during Heter Bamos, and you were a makir of the animal at Isra Bamos, so it is a lav, but it's not an Isra Karis. Okay.
Zivchehem doesn't actually, isn't that referring to the of the Abuzari?
Yeah.
So why are you using as a source not to use
Okay, good. So you're already at the next point. So Amar Rava Karibe Velo Yizbechu VeKaribe Velo Od. Okay, so the Gemara says like this, that in Achinami, meaning what we're going to now conclude is that from this pasuk we're actually generating two lavim. Now I know that's a little bit strange. We don't normally do that, meaning one pasuk, one lav. But as Rashi points out over here, the last Rashi before the Mishnah, Karibe Velo Yizbechu VeKaribe Velo Od. V'hai Od. We're going to take the lav and we're going to place it on both. Therefore, we're able to consider like two lavim. One lav is going to be an iser of bama, meaning you can't shech this animal outside the Beis HaMikdash, even though when you were makdish it, there was an allowance. But now that you finally got around to shechting it, there's an iser. So therefore, that's one lav. And the second lav is that you can't, that if you were to shech towards an Avodah Zarah, and even though it's not Avodah Sabekach, even though this is not the normal means of worshipping it, but since shechting an animal is considered a universal Avodah, so therefore you're going to be subject to the Isra of the Lav for being Ovid Avodah Zarah. Okay. Ad Khan, that takes us to the end of that section. We are now in the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, the two Mishnahs, Anun Alpha Midbeis, and the Mishnah is going to be talking about Noi Avodah Zarah, right? Decorations to the Avodah Zarah. Noi Avodah Zarah is going to have a status also of Avodah Zarah, but it depends on basically how decorative it is. It's a hard topic to really put your finger on and say that's decorative and that's not decorative, but the best thing to do is just simply use the examples of the Gemara as some sort of basis of understanding. Matzah Berosha Mazviksus Okay Lemarel Mutarim. Let's say on the top of the Avodah Zarah. Now, happens to be Rashi over here says that we're still on the same point from the beginning of the parak, meaning we're talking about the Markos. So we're talking about a pile of stones. Okay, that's how Rashi explains the Mishnah over here. And again, I get it, because in other words, we're still thematically, we haven't moved from the beginning of the parak. So you have a pile of stones. It was a markerless pile. So it's avodah zarah. The stones themselves are avodah zarah. And you threw on top of it an article of clothing. You threw on some money on top of it. So this is not considered knowing. You could take it off. You could, in other words, you can get benefit from it. That would be fine. However, parchile anavim v'atar shal shibalim v'yenosh manim v'slasos. However, if you're putting on either, I'll work backwards over here because it's a little bit easier. We did this Mishnah earlier. If you put on wine and oil and flour, now that we all understand because the Gemara said earlier, that's like Nesachim, right? Just like the Nesachim in the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach includes Yayin, Shemen, and flour. So good. So this is like Nesachim. What about the cluster of grapes? Now I'm working backwards. The cluster of grapes and the kernels of wheat in the chaff, that's a little bit trickier. But if you remember Gemara that we did yesterday, is they gave the ukimta that you broke it off for the avodah zarah. Breaking it off for the avodah zarah, that's like shechita. Okay, that's what we said. That's what we learned earlier in the parak describing these scenarios.
You could say it's like you bring it as bikurban. So that's all.
It's interesting. It's funny. The Gemara doesn't. I hear you. The Gemara didn't say bikurban. The Gemara says.
But it's something that you bring in the mizbeach.
I hear you. I agree with you. But the Gemara, I'm just saying over what the Gemara said. The Gemara says that breaking it is tantamount to shechita. That's how the Gemara, that was the akimta of the Gemara. V'chol davar shechayotzei bo, krav agam mizbeach asar. So if it's anything that could have been offered on a mizbeach, so then it's going to be asar. Minan imili, the Gemara wants to know where is this coming from. So Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yoshe, Kosev Echad, Amar Vitirushi, Kutzeim, Vizgulayim, Eitz, Vahevin, Kesev, Vizav, Asher imahem. So we're basically talking about some sort of accessory, right? Asher imahem, that's together with them, meaning the avodah zarah. Kasev echad omer lo sach me kesef hazav aleihem. Another pasuk says that you should not want the kesef hazav. So it is interesting that in one pasuk we give an example, a list of examples of eight evan kesef hazav. In another pasuk we're talking about just simply kesef hazav. How can that be? Haketzad imahem dumi da aleihem ma aleihem davar shel noy. Okay, whatever you're putting on them, meaning it has to be something which is the davar shel noy. It has to be something which accessorizes. But if it's not something that normally accessorizes, so then it's fine. Same thing is going to be true imahim. That if it's together with them, if it's for purposes of accessory, if it accessorizes the avodah zarah, so then it has the status of avodah zarah, therefore asur ba'ana. Otherwise, it's fine. So, the ema aleim domya di imahem, ma imahem kol mashi imahem, af aleim kol sha'aleim. Gemara says, well, why don't we just simply say the other way? Meaning, imahem means whatever's with them. Meaning, whether it accessorizes or whether it doesn't. Aleim, why don't we say it's the same thing? Whatever's on top of them. Meaning, you place anything on top of the avodah zarah, it by definition should be elsewhere. Why don't we go in that direction? Imkein lo yomru, lo yomar aleim. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then we wouldn't need the word aleim. Meaning, if the entire point of the Gemara, or I should say, if the entire point of the Torah is just simply to tell us that whatever is adjacent is going to be Aser, so just simply say Imahim. The Aleim is teaching me that no, it's not enough to just simply be adjacent. Right? Proximity is insufficient. It has to be something which is proximate and accessorizes. Ma'o Zavar Shel Nahu. So the Gemara now wants to understand, so what exactly are we talking about? Meaning money as... money not as being accessory. So the Gemara says, sure, I'm a debate Raviana because kashur v'tal lo b'tzavara. So the Gemara says, yeah, we'll give a number of examples. So the money is tied in a bag and hanging around its neck. Okay. Ksus avishal noyu. So the Gemara says, what about clothing? Amr debate Raviana b'ksus mikupals menaches lo avusho. And the Gemara says, look, it's folded and put on top of its head. Meaning, it's you're not dressing up the avodah zarah. In other words, it's just basically you just fold it and put on the head of the avodah zarah. Kli davar shel noyu, amra papa dischif alei mashkilta areshe. Now you take some sort of bowl inverted, put on its head. Meaning, it's not there as an accessory to the avodah zarah. Amra vasi barchia koshu lifnim in a kilkolan afilamayinu melech aser chutz kukam davar shel noy aser sheino shel noy muter. Okay. So the Gemara is trying to also give us other parameters of knowing whether or not this is accessory or not accessory. So the Gemara says like this. If there's a curtain surrounding the Avodah Zarah, so anything within the curtain, accessory. Anything outside the curtain, non-accessory. I'm Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Kinan, and Kukul, and Lola Porval, and Makrulis. So Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina has the following tradition. Look. This idea of curtains, like literally a partition, where anything interior is an accessory, anything exterior is not accessory, that's true, but not for the Avodah Zarah, which, for lack of a better term, I'm just going to call the weird Avodah Zarah, meaning Pa'or and Markulis. My part Markulis, Markulis is throwing stones at your stone configuration. Pa'or, defecating in front of the Avodah Zarah. So as Rashi points out over here, look, these Avodah Zarahs are immodest Avodah Zarahs to begin with. The throwing stones, I understand, is not so immodest, but especially when you put a long sign pa'or, in other words, defecation. But still, the point hasn't changed. Meaning, there's no discretion, indiscretion when it comes to these Avodah Zarahs. Meaning, you already are just totally, you're totally embarrassing yourself to begin with. So there's no concept of partitions when it comes to these Avodah Zarahs. There's no idea of, well, there's going to be a curtain around it, and anything interior is an accessory, anything exterior is not an accessory. These concepts don't exist by these unusual Avodah Zarahs. So lamai ilim adafilu panim kechutz damei v'shari hashepurim eparin kamei mayim amalach lo mekarvin alei. So the Gemara says, well, look, if you're trying to tell me that, well, anything interior of the curtain should be okay, the Gemara says, that of course is not what we mean. Because anything in the interior of the curtain is for sure going to be an accessory. Like, in other words, if you're ready to defecate for this Avodah Zarah, so you're not going to offer a little bit of water, a little bit of salt. So, ela afilu chutz kibifnim dami vaser. Meaning, over here, the statement is said as a chomro. Meaning, because these Avodah Zarahs involve no discretion whatsoever, so therefore that means that you could be outside of the curtain, you can have an item accessorizing it. It's outside the curtain under normal circumstances. I don't call this an accessory. That's true. That's for quote unquote normal Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah that has a little bit of discretion to it. But these Avodah Zarahs, which clearly don't care about any shame or embarrassment, so for them, the curtain is totally a non-significant item demarcating what is an accessory versus what is not an accessory. Next Mishnah. Second Mishnah on the Amud, on Nun Aleph Amud Beis. Avodas Kocham Shayelo Gino Amerchatz. Let's say the Avodah Zarah had either a garden or a bathhouse. Neni Mehem Shelo Betova. So if you can go in there, Shelo Betova. Now I'm going to say the Gemara over like the Rashi. We saw this earlier. We're seeing this again, but we're now actually seeing the Mishnah. Rashi writes on the Mishnah. Meaning, over here, it's a bathhouse right next to the Avodah Zarah. I'm allowed to go into the bathhouse. Remember, we had that, right? We had that lengthy Mishnah earlier. On Mem Dalam Beis, right? Per Proklos Ben Polusophus. Ask for Ben Gamliel and Akko, how come you're with me here in the bathhouse? Right? I'm an Ovid Avodah Zarah. I'm good here. I mean, he's not good there, but right. In other words, I'm here, and you're here with me. And what are you doing here with me? He says to him, accusing him of hypocrisy, and the back and forth over there. Right, right, there was an interesting amud. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel gave him a bunch of answers, and the Gemara's discussion was right, good answers, not good answers. Right, was he just dismissing him? In any event. So the Rashi over here writes that that you're allowed to use the bathhouse as long as you don't have to pay to use the bathhouse. That's fine. However, but if you have to pay to use it, so that's money now dedicated that's going to the priest. Probably he's going to take that money and use it for Avodah Zarah. No good. Let's say it's a partnership, and let's say joint venture ownership of the bathhouse. So the way the Mishnah sounds like it's saying, and we'll discuss a little bit more in the Gemara, is that under those circumstances you could use it even if you're going to have to pay, and some of the money is going to go to the Kummer, but some of the money is not going to go to the Kummer, and that's okay. And we'll briefly discuss this morning why should that be okay. Meaning, if some of the money is going to the Comer, why just because he has a partner now is it okay? We'll try to understand that in the Gemara. Anyway, continuing in the Mishnah, Avodas Kocham Shel Ove Kochavim Asur Miyad Vishay Yisol In Asur Achet Teyaved. A Mishnah, this last point of the Mishnah, we talked about already a number of times, but here's the actual Mishnah. When does an Avodah Zarah become an Avodah Zarah? When does it have the status of an Avodah Zarah? Our Mishnah teaches us, and we get to the Gemara, we'll see that this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah teaches us, if the guy manufactures the Avodah Zarah, it becomes Asur immediately, at the point of manufacturing. As opposed to, if a Jew manufactures an Avodah Zarah, it only becomes Asur at the point of Avoda, when the Jew worships it. Okay. We start with the Gemara Amar, Abai Betovas Hana, Komrim Shalob Betova, Shalob Betovas Komrim. Okay. So Abai says over the Pshat in the Mishnah, and again, the way we're saying it is like Rashi, it means paying to use the facility versus not paying to use the facility. So La Afuketovas of Deha Deshari. So the Gemara says, the Ovde Kochavim who are serving it, so the it's not going to make a difference to us if they get a little bit of schar. Now, Now, some make this point of Abaye and learn it not on the first half of the Mishnah, but on the second half of the Mishnah. So, the second half of the Mishnah talks about a partnership. As if there's a partnership over the bathhouse, so you could use it even if you're going to have to pay. Amar Abai Betova, Betova, Betovas Acherim. And Shalob Betova, Shalob Betovas Komrim. Ah. So in other words, that's only if your payment goes to the other partner. But if any of your payment goes to the Komrim, so then it wouldn't be okay. Now. Mandamasni Haseifa Koshekin Aresha. Now. Here, if you're learning Abai's Halacha on the Seifa, so then certainly on the Resha as well. Meaning, if we're talking about a partnership, and you're giving money, and some of the money is going to the Comer, and that's unacceptable. So then certainly if all the money is going to go to the Comer, that's certainly unacceptable. However, but if you take Abai's Halacha and apply it to the Resha, meaning it's not going to the Comer, it's not going to the priest, it's just going to one of the people who are worshipping the Avodah Zarah, but not the priest, so that Aval Sefa came to Ika Achirim Ba'adah, Fil Betofas Komrim, Nami Shapir Dami. So then that would mean then, that in the Sefer of the Mishnah, where it's joint ownership, some money's going to a non-priest owner, some of the money's going to the priest owner, so then you could be Mako. Now, why it is you could be Mako? I'm not perfectly clear about that. The Rashi just simply says that it's Tovas Anah Porta. It's just a little bit of benefit going to the Comer. I'm fully admitting I don't fully understand why it makes a difference just because there's a partner that's involved. Okay. Avos kocham shal v'kocham asur miyad. Okay, and four. The balance of...
Meaning that you don't know if the partner is going to use his money for Avos Zara, right, and where your money is going to go, so there's a double stuff like this.
Could be. I hear that. For the rest of today's daf, we're going to be discussing the following, and that is, when does Avodah Zarah become Avodah Zarah, meaning when does it get the status of Avodah Zarah? Our Mishnah over here says it very clearly. If manufactured by a guy, it becomes an Avodah Zarah at the point where he manufactured it, even before he actually served it. If it was manufactured by a Jew, it only becomes status of Avodah Zarah, a Chetzah Shel Avodah Zarah, only when the Jew worships it. Now mind you, by the way, the only one who can give it status is the owner of the item, right? We already learned this earlier. Ein Adam Oser Davashena Shalom, meaning if the Jew manufactured it and the guy worshipped it, it's not within the right of the guy to make somebody else's Avodah Zarah an Avodah Zarah. So in other words, if a guy manufactures it and it's his, becomes Oser immediately. If a Jew manufactures the Avodah Zarah and it's his, so at the point of Avodah. And the Gemara now points out, Masis Mani Rabbi Akiva. So we're going to learn together now. This is really a machlokas atanayim. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. And after we get through the entire brisa, we're going to see really clearly that our mission goes like Rabbi Akiva. By the way, makes.
By somebody who puts in a brick, stand up, and then a guy comes and bows down to it.
Right. It
becomes also.
Right, but he did. Right. In other words, but he was the one who facilitated that avoda. meaning you set it up for the guy to worship it. Okay, but okay, I hear what you're saying. The let's see the Bryce inside. Did Tanya the Gemara quotes the Bryce of Avei Tov Dunis Kol Makomas Asher Avdu Sham Goyim? So all the places where the Goyim worship, they have to destroy. Now, not perfectly clear what the Torah is talking about. The Bryce tells us that's talking about Kilim Shinisham Shabam Tashmishe Avodah Zarah. Any utensil that's used in the service of the Avodah Zarah. Yachol Asum Velo Gamrum. Now, in the Havamina, what if he made it but didn't finish it? Gamrum Velo Hivim. What if he finished it but didn't bring it? Hivim Velo Nisham Shabam. What if he brought it but didn't make usage of it? Yachol Yu Asurim Tamalam Rasha Avdu Sham Hagoyim. Ein Asurim Achi Avdu. For Tashmishe Avodah Zarah, it needs shimush. You have to actually use it. So here now, conclusion is that I know we're talking about Tashmishi Avodah Zarah, but who had done the same thing, which would be true for the Avodah Zarah itself. Meaning, when a guy makes either some sort of kli servicing the Avodah Zarah, or the Avodah Zarah itself, it does not become a chefsa shal Avodah Zarah until it's actually served. Serviced or served. Vishal Yisrael Asur Miyad. Now, if a Jew makes it, it's Asur Miyad immediately. Now, if this sounds like this is the exact opposite of the Mishnah, then you're following. Then you're in good shape. So, Miyad Div Rabbi Shmuel, because that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara's entire point is, our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva Amar Chilfa Dvarim, and Rabbi Kiva says just the opposite. So, Avodas Kocham Shal, Avodas Kocham Masur Miyad, Vishal Yisrael, Shetei Aved, Ad Kan Div Rabbi Abraisa. So the Braisa over here brings down, it's a Machlokas. Between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, obviously our Mishnah is reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, which parenthetically makes sense because we know, right? Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the Talmud of Rabbi Kiva, right? Rabbi Kiva is we've said this a number of times throughout Shas. Rabbi Kiva is the Rebbe of all the accepted Torah Shabbat Peh, meaning the Toseftas, the Braisas, the Mishnah. All of them were authored by students of Rabbi Akiva. So, and you have a Stam Mishnah, so it is normative, so to say, that it follows the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Amar Mar. And so, what we're going to be doing for a good amount of time in today's daf is basically analysis. Meaning, we now have the two Shitas, we know the two Shitas, and what is what's behind the two Shitas, how does each one arrive at their conclusion, what is the other Shita going to do with the Psukim, and the regular ping pong back and forth between how each Tana is going to handle the other Tana's Pesukim. Amamar. So the Gemara says, how did you know that the Pasuk that we quoted from Parshas Re'eh, how did you know it had to do with Tashmishi Avodah Zarah? Things that were servicing Avodah Zarah. The Pasuk says the word Mekomos. Location. Sounds like real estate. So the Gemara says, well, it can't be real estate. You know it can't be real estate. So we've made this point already a number of times. It was a good part of this Masechta that property, karka, cannot become a Avodah Zarah. So the word Mekomos can't be taken literally. So it's not talking about property, it's talking about the kelim used for the Avodah Zarah. Mikan amar Avodah Kocham Shal v'Kocham in Asura Ela Ad Sheteavid v'she Yisrael Miyad v'ha b'kelim ukim nala. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. That was a funny jump that the Braisa made. We were talking about kelim, which are Tashmishi Avodah Zarah, and then we said, oh, and you know what we can see? You see that when it comes to the Avodah Zarah itself, what'd you just do? You jump from kelim to the Avodah Zarah. Amakra Asher Atem Yershim Osam Es Elohim. Make ish Elohim lekelim. Akelim ashiyavdu, af Elohim achiyavdu. And af Elohim nami achiyavdu. So basically, a hekesh. We have a hekesh which connects the kelim to the Avodah Zarah. Whatever we conclude regarding the kelim is also going to be true regarding the Avodah Zarah. According to Rabbi Shmuel, kelim do not become usher until shimush. Same thing with Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah v'goy does not become usher until Avodah. V'Rabbi Kiva de lo makish amlacha es Hifzik ha'inyan. Now Rabbi Akiva actually agrees when it comes to Kalim, but he doesn't transition from Kalim to Avodah Zarah. Why not? So he believes that it's not Akish because the word S is coming as a break in the pasuk, separating the tashmishi avodah zarah to the avodah zarah itself. Rabbi Shmuel Ashkechan avodz kocham shel shel ovei kocham dein asur ad sheteavid. The Yisrael dasur miyamin alei. Good. So we have step one of Rabbi Shmuel, that when it comes to an avodah zarah, it does not become a chefzer shel avodah zarah until actual worship. And again, Rabbi Shmuel derives it based on the pasuk, even though the pasuk is talking about kelim. There's a hekesh connecting kelim to avodah zarah, just like kelim does not become aser until shimush, so too avodah zarah does not become aser until actual avodah. That's all step one. Step two of Rabbi Shmuel is, if the avodah zarah is manufactured by a Jew, it does not become aser. I'm sorry, it becomes aser immediately. How do you get there? Svaru. So it's a svara. Now the Gemara here does not develop the svara. The Gemara just simply states it. That, well, you know, by the non-Jew, you get to the point of avoda, only then it becomes usher for the Jew, it must be immediate. So what's behind the svara of the Gemara? So Rashi over here doesn't say, so if you'll allow me, I'll speculate just for a moment. Look, for us to be over to avodah zarah, it's, in other words, we're bound by so many more Yisurim and Averis in the Torah. Furthermore, I'll just also add, when we have an Avodah Zarah, meaning when we create Avodah Zarah, it's not subject to Bittul. Meaning our Avodah Zarah, I mean, they're both Mises Bidei Adam, but our Avodah Zarah is stronger, right? It's everlasting. Right, we can't be mevatel it. So in other words, so it's mistaber. I think this is all behind the svara that if their avodah zarah doesn't become aser until the point of avodah, our avodah zarah, the moment we make it, that's it. Status of avodah zarah. So the Gemara says, well, I understand you. You want to tell me there's a distinction? Fine. But ema d'Yisrael klal klal lo. Well, maybe the distinction is that for us, it never becomes a chefzer shel avodah zarah. Now, it's a funny suggestion, and the Gemara immediately rejects it. Hashle Geniza bai, Itzur la Mitzra. Well, the Gemara says, well, we know there's a halach of Geniza. Once there's an Avodah Zarah, you have to... Now, I want to say destroy it. To be fair, it's a really interesting Rashi. Rashi over here by Geniza, Rashi over here writes, Tunun Tunun Geniza, Di Chishi Shlema Geniza Bekarka. Rashi says that once we create an Avodah Zarah, you have to bury it. And Rashi says you don't actually have to destroy it. I'll come back to that Rashi in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, let's just keep following the Gemara. So the Gemara says, you can't tell me that it doesn't get any status whatsoever. That's impossible. So the Gemara says, okay, but why should it be different than that of an Ovid Avodah Zarah? Meaning, their Avodah Zarah doesn't become Aser until the point of Avodah. So maybe the same thing is true by us. Amakra, v'ezchataschem asher asisem etse egel. Mishas asiya kamle b'chet. The Gemara says, we're going to go back to chet ha'egel. The Gemara here quotes in the Pesukim Devarim, but the Chet HaEgel is instructive of the fact that the moment we made it, it now becomes a Chefzer Shel Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, well, maybe we can make the following distinction. Maybe the one who makes it is in violation of the Torah, but the actual Avodah Zarah itself does not gain status of Avodah Zarah until Avodah. Amakra Arur Isha Sher Yaseh Pesul Masicha Mishas Asiya Kamle Ba'arur. So the Gemara says, okay, but one of the klalos at Har Grizim and Har Eval is that cursed is the person who manufactures the Avodah Zarah. Obviously, the klalos are going on the Jews. So Eman, Imil Lamekim Gavra Ba'arur, Yisur La Mitzra. So the Gemara again suggests, well, maybe there is a curse for the manufacturer, but for the Avodah Zarah that was actually manufactured, maybe it doesn't become Asur until the Avodah. So Toevas Hashem Ksiv. The Gemara says no, because it describes it as a Toeva, meaning not just the person, but the item that's being created. So the Gemara says it can't be. In other words, we have to say that the item becomes a Chefzer Shel Avodah Zarah at the point of manufacturing, and all this is according to Rabbi Shmuel. So what do we have right now? So we have now sourced all the halachas of Rabbi Shmuel, vis-a-vis if a goy manufactures Avodah Zarah, it becomes Aser, but only at the point of Avodah. If a Jew manufactures Avodah Zarah, it becomes Aser immediately. And all the Pesukim sourced. Rabbi Akiva, Davra Mevi Li De Toeva. And Rabbi Akiva, who obviously disagrees, he says it will be a Toeva. Meaning, at the point of manufacture, it's not yet a Toeva, But the reason why the Torah describes it as the Toeva, because unfortunately we'll probably get there. Meaning because he made it, he's going to end up serving it. Okay, and now all that was Rabbi Yishmael, and now we turn to Rabbi Akiva. And the sourcing behind Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, Varizkocham Shalav, Varizkocham Desrom, Yaminale. So we start now with the halacha of Rabbi Akiva, where if I have an avodah zara created by a guy, it becomes usher at the point of manufacture. Where does that come from? Armaul, Amakrup, Sile, Elohim, Tisrafun, Be'esh. Misha Paslo, Nasa Eloha. Now, it's going to be a little bit confusing because we're going to see the word pasul over here used in one of two ways. Pasul over here means to actually carve out. Psalacha, right? We just saw that in last week's parsha. Also, pasul means to negate, to repudiate, right? To disqualify. Like to pasul an avodah zarah, to negate the avodah zarah. So over here, the way Rabbi Kiva understands the pasuk of psile Elohim, that means that their gods that they carve out, tishrafum ba'esh, we have to burn it. So the moment they carve it out, it becomes a chefsa shal avodah zarah. They, meaning the goyim. Mishapasul nasu aloha. V'idach, now Rabbi Shmuel, how is he going to handle that pasuk? How mivayla lechidini, Rav Yosef, minayin lo avekocham sheposel, Eloha, how do I know that a guy can disqualify the God? Meaning, he's going to understand the pasuk to mean to be posel the avodah zarah, to negate, to repudiate. Shenem rapsil Elohim tishrufun be'esh. That's what Rabbi Shmuel will do with the pasuk. V'idach, Rabbi Kiva, nafkalei midishmuel, also agrees to the halacha, but gets it from a different pasuk. Dishmuel ramiksiv lo sachmur kesef azav alayem uksiv v'lakach talach. The Torah is a little bit confusing in terms of, can we take the Avodah Zarah, can we not take the Avodah Zarah? One pasuk says, no, don't take it, lo sachmod. Another pasuk says, lo kach talach. No, you take it. Well, which one? So haketzad paslu leiloha, if they carve it out as a god, meaning they manufacture it, lo sachmod. Then we can't take it. Paslu meiloha, but if they hear pasul means to negate it as a god, lakach talach, then you're allowed to take it because they are allowed to pasul their avodah zarah. V'Rabbi Akiva, okay. So that's the back and forth regarding Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel vis-a-vis when a goy manufactures. Now, Rabbi Akiva, Ashkechan avos kocham shalav kocham desrom yad yisra achetav minalan. How do I know, according to Rabbi Akiva, that if a Jew manufactures an avodah zarah, it only gains status of avodah zarah at the point of avoda? I'm Rav Yehuda Makra. Visham b'seiser, ad sheyaseh dvarim shebeseiser. Once again, we go back to the klalos at Har Grizim and Har Eval. The Torah there says sham b'seiser, meaning when we do it in hiding. What are we doing in hiding? So we're being over to avodah zarah. Why are we doing it in hiding? Simple Rashi, simple idea. Because the person who's over to avodah zarah doesn't want to get killed. So if he does it publicly, so then they're going to be Adam. There's going to be asra. So he doesn't want that. So in other words, they'll do it privately. But in other words, but it only gains the status of avodah zarah when he serves it, when he worships it. The idach now, Rabbi Shmuel, haumi ba'ilechad Rav Yitzchak dam Rav Yitzchak minay lavodas kocham sheyisrael shetuna geniza. How do I know that the avodah zarah of a Jew requires geniza? Shenamar visham b'seiser. He understands for the pasuk this idea of geniza, that when you have an avodah zarah manufactured by a Jew, so what needs to be done with it? There's no option of passeling the avodah zarah, so sham b'seiser has to be put in geniza. Okay, I'm going to now come back to that Rashi I quoted just a moment ago. Rashi says that geniza just simply means buried in the ground. Rashi actually writes, and you don't have to destroy, you don't have to grind it up, just buried in the ground. Take a look at the third Tosfos over here, where seemingly he disagrees. Right, Tosfos says kamo klishar zaminish geniza af asher tunu geniza perish. Biur below Hana. Tosa says destruction and not getting benefit from after destroyed. Kamo ego sheshachua vizaruhu. Right? By the eagle, they ground it up and then they spread it out. Now, you'll notice, Tosa points out, you'll notice that we didn't learn the halacha from the eagle, but Tosa points out what we learned earlier in the Masechta, and that is they ground up the eagle, but that could be for other reasons. Right? In other words, remember the Gemara taught us just recently that maybe they want to take the ground up egel, put it into the water, have them drink it like a sota. So in other words, you see from the egel that they did grind it up, but we're not going to learn it from the egel because there could have been mitigating factors by the egel. But at least from Tosfos, you certainly get the sense that Geniza by Avodah Zarah means not just buried in the ground, but also grinded up as well. Anyway, back to the Gemara. The Idach, Nafkale Medrav Chista, Amarab, Amarav Chista, Amarab, Minalav, Kocham Shah Yisrael, Shetuuna Geniza. How do I know that Avodah Zarah of a Jew requires Geniza? Shenemar, Losita Lacha Ashera, call Eitz, Eitz on Mizbeach. Ma Mizbeach Son Geniza, Af Asher Tuna Geniza. By virtue of the fact that in the beginning of Parsha Shoftim we have the idea of a Mizbeach right alongside Asherah. And when I say the idea, I really mean the Isser. Torah says, don't plant an Asherah next to the Mizbeach. Now, truth be told, don't plant an Asherah anywhere. Anywhere. But in other words, there's a special affront. It is unbelievably disrespectful to take the Asherah and place it right next to the Mizbeach. But what the Torah is also communicating to us is, just like when the Mizbeach is no longer in use and we want to, for whatever reason, we want to dispose of the Mizbeach, it requires Geniza. You don't want to just simply throw it out. Right, properly, respectfully, you put in Geniza. So the same thing is true with Avodah Zarah, meaning Geniza. V'idach, now what's the other Tana going to do now with the psukim of Mizbech and Asherah? Ha'u mi'bay le'lechad reish lakish, tam reish lakish. So that juxtaposition of Mizbech and Asherah is coming to teach us a different point altogether. Kol ha'mah midayin she'nohagun ki'ilo noteya Asherah b'Yisrael. Shenemar shoftim v'shoshen titen lecha b'chol she'arecha usmech lei losita lecha asherah kol eitz. If you appoint a judge who is an inappropriate judge, and we elevate him to a dayan, it's like planting an asherah right next to the mizbeach. It's that inappropriate. And Amar Avashi v'makam tamid chachamim ki'ilo natu eitz l'mizbeach shenemar eitz l'mizbeach. And let's say there was a candidate, and he was an excellent candidate. It was a Talmud Chacham. And then we make the executive decision of, I know we could have appointed a Talmud Chacham as a dayan, but for whatever political reason, we're going to appoint that guy. And that guy that we appointed is wholly inappropriate to serve in that position. So it's like taking an Asherah and placing it right next to the Mizbeach. By Rav Amnuna. Okay, Adkan, that takes us really to the end now of that discussion. So what do we have right now? Two shitas of machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. When does Avodah Zarah become Usur? So, let's say it over like the Mishnah, let's say over the Shita Rabbi Akiva, if manufactured by a guy, it becomes Usur immediately. If manufactured by a Jew, it only becomes Usur when the Jew is Ove that Avodah Zarah. That is the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, that's the Stam Mishnah, that's the Halacha, Rabbi Shmuel disagrees, and for the last Amud of Gemara, the Gemara just went back and forth of sourcing each Shita. And what is the other shita going to do with all the psukim sourced by the other mandamer? Questions of the Gemara. First question the Gemara is going to entertain. Ritach, where am I? Abai Rav Hamanuna. Ritach kli la'avodas kochav amahu. Let's say there was a kli that was for Avodah Zarah and it broke. Okay. And now you banged it out. You took a hammer and you knocked it back into shape. And now you fixed it. So now, what is its status regarding a kli la'avodas Zarah? So avodas kochav daman. So the Gemara says, whose kli are we talking about? Ilam avodas kochav dav kochav main le Rabbi Shmuel ben le Rabbi Akiva misham she avodas kochav main or misham she avodas kochav min asur ashi avdo. So if we're talking about the kli belonging to a guy, so remember, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel says that if we're talking about tashmishay avodas zara, not the avodas zara itself, but any kli serving the avodas zara, they're both in agreement that it only becomes status of Tashmishi Avodah Zarah at the point of service. There was no dispute about that. So we're talking about the Avodah Zarah of a Jew. Ali b'daman ilam ali b'dar Rabbi Kiva hashta he gufa lo mitzrayat shetavid mishamsha mibaye. Look, according to Rabbi Kiva, the Avodah Zarah of a Jew does not become usur until the point of worship. You think it's going to be different by Tashmishi Avodah Zarah for the Jew? Obviously not. The ela ali b'dar Rabbi Shmuel da amar asur miyad. Question now on the table is according to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Shmuel says that the Avodah Zarah of a Jew becomes Asur immediately at the point of manufacture. So my, Mishamshin, mi Mishamshin gamrinan, ma'asam ha'shiavdu, avhach ha'shiavdu, odilma minag amar, ma'hi asur miyad, af mishamshin asur miyad. So the Gemara says, and now we have a wonderful question, but it's only according to Rabbi Shmuel. According to Rabbi Shmuel, now we can go in one of two directions. You see, for Tashmishi Avodah Zarah of a Jew, on one hand I could say, It should be just like the Avodah Zarah of a Jew. Just like the Avodah Zarah of a Jew becomes Asra immediately. So too should the Tashmishi Avodah Zarah. Or maybe no. Maybe the Tashmishi Avodah Zarah of a Jew should be like Tashmishi Avodah Zarah of a Goy. Tashmishi Avodah Zarah of a Goy only becomes Asra at the point of Shimush. So too Tashmishi Avodah Zarah should become Asra only at the point of Shimush. So for Rabbi Shmuel, we can go in one of two directions. My area de kami baile rita kliti baile asa. Just as a curiosity, says the Gemara, you're asking me about a kli that broke and you fixed it. The question could be a lot easier and a lot simpler. What if a Jew manufactured a kli for Tashmishi Avodah Zarah? We just ask the question right from there. So, Rav Hanun mishum tumi shena kami baile. So the Gemara says, of course you're right, but really what we're asking over here is a layered question. Because it's not. The Gemara says, now, when the Mishnah in Kalim teaches us the following. Kli matkos pshutema mekablem temeyem. So, when you have a metal kli, so it now, as it can be a conduit for tuma. It will be, as long as it's a kli, as long as it's a utensil. So it's mekabel tuma, it accepts tuma. And when it comes to metal, it doesn't matter whether it has a toch, whether it has an inner space, or even if it's pshute kli matchos, or even if it's just a metal rod, it's mekabel tuma. And now, here's the halacha when it comes to a metal kli. Nishtabru, taharu. When you break it, so it becomes taharu. And then, chazva asan kelim, yachzur lu tuma yishana. If you fix it, the tuma comes back. Now, min ha-torah, the tuma does not come back. Meaning, panim chadashos ba'olakan. It's like a new kli. However, this is a gzeira de rabbanon, that because it once upon a time was a kli, and it broke, and you fixed it, if it was tamei before, the tumah bounces right back, it reverts back to it on a rabbinic level. And now the Gemara wants to know, that's true, of course, if the tumah starts off as a tumah daraisa. Question, now this is our layered question. Hachi kami ba'ile, ki adru tumah hanimi le tumah daraisa, ava tumah de rabbanon lo, odem lo shna. So the Gemara says, I'm now curious to know, if the tumah that's starting off with is a tumah daraisa, so then we have this rabbinic decree that when you break and fix the kli mataches, the metal kli, the tumah bounces back. But that's, I certainly hear that if the tumah starts off as a tumah daraisa. But what if the tumah starts off as a tumah derabanan? Remember, a kli for avodah zarah is tumah derabanan. So now, if it breaks and I fix it, is that tumah derabanan going to bounce back? It's almost like a double gzera derabanan. To tumah to begin with is a din derabanan. The idea of tumah yishana bouncing back is a tumah derabanan. So does this, is this going to happen? So v'tibay leishar tumah derabanan. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you. Why don't you just ask by other simple tumah derabanan scenarios? Like Rashi gives the example over here, tumas mashkin. If a liquid comes into contact with a kli, on a rabbinic level, the kli now is tummy. And now, let's just ask the same question. You break the kli, you fix it, does that tumma bounce back? Why are you asking by avodah zarah? And again, the Gemara basically says, you're right. It's a layered question. When it comes to tumma derabanan, I break the kli, I fix it, does the tumma come back? And intim salam alohadra. And let's assume it doesn't bounce back. Meaning, if it starts as a tumah derabanan and I break the kli, so we're not going to impose the gzera derabanan of tumah yishana if the beginning of it was only tumah derabanan to begin with. Gemara says fine, but tumah davaris kochav mishum chomer davaris kochav mishav yerabanan ketumah deraisa olo. But when it comes to tumah avodah zarah, that should be harsher, even though it's rabbinic, maybe. Because since we tend to be more machmer by avodah zarah. We've had countless examples in this masechta of where we are more machmer because it's avodah zarah. So maybe over here, even though the tumah is a tumah derabanan, but maybe it should be an amplified tumah derabanan because it's avodah zarah, and maybe then the tumah yishana should come back. Take it with the Gemara says, okay, that's where the question is being asked, and leaves that question unresolved. Let's do one more for today. Gemara says, what about food that's being offered as by the goy? So takrovas avodas kochavim of food. So can he, the goy, be mevatel it? So tuma nami betela. So the Gemara says, look, if it's a kli, look, he could be mevatalid. So and also, what about the tuma? And that doesn't bother me because you'll take the kli, you'll put it in the mikvah, and you'll remove the tuma. So kikami bayale ochlin. So the Gemara says, well, so that's why we're asking by food, because of course we know the halacha by food is that once food becomes tamei, there's no option of toveling that food in the mikvah. It's simply not an option. So the Gemara says, "V'tibaylei avodas kocham gufa." So the Gemara says, "Well, I don't understand. Why aren't we asking the question of food being the avodah zara itself? Why are you asking me about takrovis avodah zara as a food? Let's say the person, the guy, is worshiping the food itself. So the lomi bayalei." The Gemara says, "But that doesn't bother me. Kaven de isure bato tomanami betela." Now, because when it comes to the avodah zara itself, so he could be mevato gufa the avodah zara. So then, of course, the tumah is going to go away. Ki kami bayle takrovas avodas kocham shaoch lemai. Kevin the isure lo bato. So the kidrav gidol tumanami lo betela. You see, when it comes to takrovas avodah zara, I'll tell you why the question is so good. Because as we have learned earlier, the Gemara now reminds us, takrovas avodah zara is not subject to bittul. I can't remove the iser. And so now, here's the question. If I can remove the Isser, so perhaps I can remove the Tumah. So my Kevin Isser Lobato Kad Rav Gidol Tumah Nami Lobatela, Odimel Isser Daraisa Lobato Tumah Darabanan Batel. Or maybe no, look. The Isser aspect of it, that's an Isser Daraisa. So that can be negated. But the Tumah aspect of it, remember, the Tumah is only a Tumah Darabanan. So maybe that can be negated. Take with the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. We'll stop today.
What is the benefit of being
just removing tumah?
Remove
okay. I mean, in other words, he won't have.
Agreed.
But he won't have to go. He won't have to go to the mikvah. Any food that it comes into contact with is not tame. Okay. Anyway, tumah is removed. We'll stop here tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll pick it up right from this point. Le'ilu inishmas Chaim Shalom Ben Avner.